I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Dark Myths Podcast. This is a podcast about the members of the Dark Myths Collective. Explore what lies beyond and enter the minds of the Dark Lords. The darkness awaits.
Greetings, listeners of the Dark Myths Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christophe Andreissons. As always, I'm your host. And welcome to the episode 5 of the show where we interview and discuss things with Dark Myths Podcast group members. This time, we're talking with an especially prolific member of Dark Myths, Travis John Doe, from the Bohemicon Podcast, the History of Germany, the Secret Cabinet, the History of Alchemy, and some others. Hello, Travis.
Hey, how's it going? It's nice to be here, by the way. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, you're a member of Dark Myths, so we have to have you on the show, comrade.
Oh, it's mandatory? Is it? It's mandatory fun? Is that?
Are you not happy?
I'm happy, comrade. I'm happy.
Anyway, tell us about yourself, Travis. I know you've done this many times, but you have about 5 to 10 minutes to explain who are you, where are you from, what's your childhood, how did you grow up, and how did you end up doing podcasts?
Oh, I guess it's all kind of related. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. So I lived for 20 years in Europe. Maybe let's start there. I grew up in Germany. I lived in Czech Republic for 10 years. And hence my the wanting to do History of Germany podcast. And then also I translate that into German as Geschichte der Deutschen. So that it kind of exists twice. And then Bohemicon is all about the Czech Republic, which I do with, I co-host with Pete Coleman. And last couple episodes, he's been doing some episodes of bedtime stories, like legends from the Czech Republic and around Prague, especially around Prague. And he's just been reading them to his son, like literally as bedtime stories. And those are fantastic. But we talk about all kinds of stuff, some similar issues as with the Eastern Border podcast, but also like medieval stuff. And oh, yeah, it's, you know, all kinds of history from Czech Republic. And the other thing about Prague, I guess, to say is that it is a mystical city. I was a ghost tour guide there for a while. And on my ghost tours, I would talk about alchemists quite a bit, because if you wander through Prague, there's one building that used to be an alchemist lab.
That used to be the capital of alchemy, for one.
Yeah, it really was. For the Golden Age of Alchemy, that's where they were invited into Prague by Rudolf II to his court and just the city in general. They other parts of Europe, it was kind of dangerous, like they could be persecuted. So that woke a fascination of like, what did they actually do in these buildings? And cause that history is still there. And that's a question that I wish I never asked, because it's been a long, like more than five year journey of like reading alchemical books and like now like some pretty obscure and, niche topics of alchemy, to get to the bottom of like, what is the definition of alchemy? Like throughout history, like what did they believe? Why did they think they could do what did they try to do? And why did they think it was possible? And, all those things. And, that's just been a lot of fun. So that's history of alchemy. It all ties in. And then Secret Cabinet, I translate from the original German, Das Geheime Kabinett, by Der Buddler. Those are all the naughty bits of history, and that's also a Dark Myths member. It's a great Dark Myths fit. I believe personally, like the Secret Cabinet is a great fit for the network. It's just all the naughty bits of history, but presented with class. Like it's not a vulgar show. I think it might be marked explicit just because the topics might be, you know, I don't know, history of dildos, Napoleon's penis, I don't swear at it.
I mean, I understand the fact that my show also,
These are all real artifacts.
Some of my shows get marked explicit because some people have reported on them because they're offensive. Yeah, my Chernobyl episode was offensive. It's crazy.
I got one complaint. You want to know what episode that one complaint was on?
Oh, yeah, surely, man, because this is also one of the things they ask. Give us some of your bad reviews or complaints, so
one,
be free.
I've only gotten one complaint about swearing, and it was when I did a joint with the Lesser Bonaparte. We sat down and talked about Charlemagne, and they put it on their feed, and I put it on my feed, so we did, like, two different intros and outros, but it was the same show. And I got a complaint for it. They're like, oh, those guys you had on the show, like, the, you know, I'm not used to this. Like, I don't want to talk bad about, you know, like, because, sure, like.
Hey, don't talk about my show, yeah?
So I don't normally swear on my show, but I was also, they even asked, and I was like, yeah, I don't really care. I think I must have sworn before, but apparently not, because I got a complaint as soon as I aired it.
It was Daniel Zeta of Lesser Bonaparte.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, but so that's
different now.
So I marked that explicit, and life goes on. You know, that's the only one, really.
Oh boy, my show is always. I don't know how many shows. How many shows on Dark Myths are not explicit? So I'm starting to think now. Astonishing Legends have sweared in their shows. Jordan Harbor is explicit because of very violent content now and then. Let's not even mention Scald here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Secret Cabinet is exactly because of the content. It's marked explicit because we talk about a lot of. Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff that was left out of the history books. The Secret Cabinet was like an actual cabinet in, I think it was in the museum in Naples. And yeah, it was like stuff they didn't want the fine ladies and gentlemen to see. So yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. And what else? I mean, I must be forgetting something, right? What else do I do? Americana for euch. Yeah, in German, I do another podcast, and then there's a couple more shows in the works. That's why it's hard to keep it all straight. But I won't mention those yet. But stay tuned at podcastnik.com for everything, really, and then we can move on. So,
well,
yeah.
Do you have any hobbies besides podcasting? Because you're obviously hyper
I do.
And stuff. Yeah, please do tell about them. Especially talk about the stuff that we can see and the that I can see interviewing you on the webcam just behind you. I see that you're a modelist.
Oh my goodness. Oh, so that's not even really a hobby. I have a Lego problem. I collect Lego pirate ships. That's not a hobby. That is a problem. And I paint miniatures for a game called Dystopian Wars. But I don't even know. I don't have any paintings behind me, but I try to paint, like, to get away from computer screens, which includes podcasting, by the way. Like, that's my escape from everything is I paint, which, yeah, you could find that online if you snoop. It's there. It's, yeah.
Nice. So do you have any specific, interesting, cool, personal story that you might want to share? Because we've gotten Jordan Bonaparte spoke about how he actually met the Jason's actor from Friday the 13th and how he likes horror movies. And other Jordan likes classical music and Glenn's into punk rock. So what are you into and what's your story about that?
I can tell you that recently, just because it's been a pretty big personal event, I recently moved from Prague back to California. And that's weird because I lived in Europe for 20 years, but not consecutively. So I lived like as a child. I grew up in Germany for 10 years, but not in a row. But then I moved back. I moved to Prague after college. But just recently I moved back here to the States, to the Bay Area specifically. And it's weird. It's weird on so many levels to go from Prague to here. Like I didn't. So in Prague, I just used mass transit. And
my man
walked a lot. I didn't own a car for 10 years. You know, I tried to live in the city because I wanted to live in Prague.
For the listeners, we in eastern parts of Europe use a car to go to the countryside for one. Or
I would rent a car if I wanted to do that. But even I use trains a lot, so I love the experience, which is actually going away now. But back years ago, I would go to Munich, for instance, in a night train. And you can spend the night in the train, and I guess those might exist in the States, but it's really not, it's not a typical thing. And because it normally would be at a 3.5 car ride, so why bother? But you pick some place that's like 8 hours away, and you say, I'm going to take a night train, and they made those available for that, and then you get to the city, like I'll go to Budapest, or I don't know, Bratislava, or Munich, or Berlin, or whatever, and you wake up, and you're refreshed, and you go see the city, maybe spend one night there, maybe just come back the same day. But it was like, we'd go to, I wasn't far enough for a night train, but just we'd go to breweries by train, you know, just to go have something to do, to Pilsen or Budweis, that kind of thing. Now it's like, I got a pickup truck. I drive everywhere, train. Well, there is public transport here, I should say. It exists in the Bay Area. It's pretty good. But I drive everywhere. That is to say, I don't drive much at all anywhere, because the biggest culture shock thing is I don't go to stores anymore. I just don't go to stores anymore. I go grocery shopping, but I don't have to. Like, my wife orders stuff from whatever. Safeway delivers, Amazon Fresh, Costco, maybe not. I don't know, Walmart. You can get lettuce and milk.
That's your lucky part, because I don't get any of that experience. I want that here.
So in Prague, I had it pretty good. I had it really bad now and then, because I never had a car. But the last place I lived for like 5 years or 4 years, and I lived right across the street from a grocery store. So I just crossed the street and there I was. So I could just, it was as much as I could carry across the street, which, you know, that's fine. It could be heavy. I'd be sweating, climbing the stairs. I lived on the third floor, no real elevator. You know, that's Europe. It's good times. the building I lived in had seen a world war or two. Like, it was kind of old. But yeah, it's good stuff. Like, yeah. So now I have a truck that I don't really drive unless I leave the city. I drive when I leave, and I try to leave a lot because I have a truck. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go look at some trees, go look at some beaches. Oh, the beach. Yeah. I was in a very landlocked country. You at least have a coastline.
There was this joke, by the way.
I really missed that in Prague.
By the way, this Soviet joke happened that, news from the Czechoslovakia to the Soviet government. The Czechoslovaks are asking the Moscow government, hey, could we just please have a seafaring ministry? You know, the marine things ministry. And the Soviet guys are responding to, why would you need a cabinet that includes this seafaring marine deals ministry? And the Czechoslovaks reply, well, but you guys have a culture ministry, don't you?
Oh, snap.
those little anti-Soviet things that went around here.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Czechs probably would think they need a navy, though. That's the funny thing. Oh, man. Yeah, but yeah. So that there's a personal story. I'm still kind of going through culture shock, but nice. missing the castles and cobblestones, but enjoying the palm trees and sand. So I guess it all works out.
Nice. I was kind of worried, because I'm thinking that everyone else I ask normally, where did their podcast name came from? But you have so many podcasts, and they're all kind of, I don't know, History of Germany seems kind of cool. Bohemian, yeah, I can understand that one. So I'm asking you, where did Podcastnik came from?
Once we had like multiple shows, I think we were dealing with five feeds at the time or something. I realized we should have one kind of a brand, just a URL, just a website that links to all the shows to make things less confusing. And that's really where it started. Like, now I'm going to found a company, and it's going to be a thing because it makes revenue and such. But at the beginning it was just like, yeah, it's just going to be all these things. And of course, living in Prague, Podcastnik, really. So obviously there's my logo is kind of looks like Sputnik, basically. It's got some antenna, obviously, but Podcastnik would just be like bad Czech for podcaster, really. That's all that means. Sputnik is what does it mean? Satellite? Is that what Sputnik means?
Yeah, Sputnik means, yeah. Is that a satellite? And Podcastnik,
so
yeah, that, like, it makes sense in Russian as well.
It's Slavic. It could be Russian, it could be Czech, it could be Croatian. But it just means podcaster. And I'm just like, it's just super descriptive. It's hilarious the way that Sputnik is hilarious. We're gonna launch a satellite into space. What shall we call it? We call it satellite. Oh, sounds good, comrade. Let's go. What we name this rocket? Let's call it Rocket. Rocket 1, Rocket 2. Satellite 1, Satellite 2.
It was the same with tanks. I mean, the famous BT-7 tanks which Soviets used. You know what BT stands for? Bystry tank. You know what tank stands for? Fast tank. Yeah, so it's fast literally tank. Fast tank 7.
Germans kind of do that too. It's not just a Russian thing, but yeah, anyway.
It's like, these people sure had imagination, didn't they? as a technical writer, I can clearly appreciate this precision in naming.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's exactly what it is. It's just podcaster. It's just like, that's what it is. Yeah, so that's it. It's just not that imaginative, actually. But yeah, like Bohemian, clearly that's, yeah, Bohemia American. The rest is, especially like I started with History of Alchemy and Bohemian, and then History of Germany. And I was just a History of Rome fan. So followed the History of Alchemy format, you know, History of Alchemy, History of Germany. Yeah, not very creative, but I have a couple of shows coming out. I'll try to think of something better.
You'll manage. Now, if you would have an advice to new podcasters, what would that be?
Don't overthink. Okay, so first of all, yeah, okay. I'm not saying our first shows were good in terms of quality. But at first, our very first shows, we just used our headsets that we had at work. We just went to them because we were colleagues. We were both technical writers. We still are colleagues, both technical writers, Pete and I. And we just go into a meeting room with our headsets, plug them into our computers and record, which was pretty bad, but it worked. And then we bought $6 microphones, the first microphones we actually invested money in, because we just made, you know, poor Czech salaries. Like, come on. You know, $6, and those worked. I wouldn't say they're great. I wouldn't recommend them. And then people buy mixers, people buy, I don't know, amplifiers and this and that, and people spend money on software. So I can't speak to PCs, but for Mac, we just use GarageBand, which I think was free, and it has you just turn the limiter up and it, you know, you just crank up the volume, and that's what we do. And I think our podcasts are loud. like it's not one where you have to, you know, you have to crank it up all the way, and that's it really. Like
I use Audacity, which is also free, but for PCs.
Yeah, and I think it's free, and you don't need anything beyond Audacity, I think. I've never really played with it, but I, you know, what I've heard is like, no, that's fine. You don't need extra stuff. People use compressors and, you know, limiters and this and that, and I don't know. Okay.
There's a limit for function Audacity, and I use it, obviously. I think you use the GarageBand as well.
So yeah, I tweak it. I do have my settings, okay? Sure. That is true. Like, there's a couple things that I wish I knew right away.
But that's for editors. That's for editors. We both have editors, man. We know.
Well, I edit some of the shows myself, and I used to edit everything myself. So it was still a matter of like, okay, yeah, there's still my settings, what I want, which I wish I would have known right from the beginning. That's true. I wish I would have, like, if someone would have told me from day one, Google what a limiter is in GarageBand and turn it on and turn it up. Just that sentence, if someone would have sent that to me in an email, I would have been forever grateful. Because for 1 year, I think our podcasts were pretty quiet and this and that. But otherwise, yeah, like, you know, now that I have a team behind me, can I introduce, because Podcastnik LLC.
Yeah, sure, man.
It's not actually just me. I kind of feel bad. Like, it's not like I'm doing all these shows. And Christoph's is a part of it, whether he likes it or not. But yeah, we have an editor.
I'm a part of everything these days lately. Yeah, this is my job, man.
Yeah, so Andrew, so Christoph's actually might be a writer for some of the shows that aren't even out yet. He might help me out with History of Germany now and then. And then we have Andrew Funcook, who's our editor. He edits like that guy. He edits like four of my shows. He edits Lesser Bonapartes. He edits Jordan, you know, Twilight.
I can affirm that he does edit our show too.
Yeah. So I like Podcastnik could not exist without that guy. For instance, that guy, Andrew, like, you know, makes it all happen. Andrew actually might be starting his own show here pretty soon. So I'm, you know, and then again, like, I'm trying to write and help get that off the ground.
If I interview Andrew, who's going to edit the show?
I'll make him edit his own show.
That's going to be crazy. No.
Well,
this show fully edited by Alice. Because, you know, our editors union is combining together.
I did tell him I'll give him a raise for his own editing his own show.
This is the first time, by the way, when we actually mention our editors on the show. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hold on. Let me finish the introduction. Alice, sure. Your editor should definitely get her props, and she'll also hopefully be a podcastress. One of these days. But then we also, so of course we have Pete Coleman, who co-hosts Bohemian and History of Alchemy,
and he's historical reconstructions, I know, and I appreciate that because I'm also into that.
Yeah, so he's a mad history nerd, obviously. So he really, the thing is, he's still in Prague. He's boots on the ground, he's wheelchair on the ground in Prague.
Dark Myths podcast shall take some time and visit the guy, because really, that's just Prague.
I'll
go see him, by the way. I know, I've spoken
to him. Yeah, you guys aren't that far. You guys are just a couple of states away, EU states away, really.
It's 2 hours by plane, man.
Oh, it's nothing, yeah. And actually, planes are cheaper than trains now, and yeah.
29 euros for a ticket, by the way. 29 euros.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, you can get really cheap deals. Go see Pete, dude. What are you doing? Go see Pete. Or Pete, if you're listening, go see Christoph's. He's in Riga. But yeah, so also we got Pete's. And then also Secret Cabinet is actually just a translation from the original German by Der Buddler. And Der Buddler is another unwilling member of the team who is he works in Wittenberg in the Luther house. So mm-hmm. he works in Luther's, like, it's just crazy. Like, he gave me a tour once of Wittenberg and the Luther house and all that. And he does a couple of podcasts in German. He's also, by trade, he's an archaeologist. So he, like, he talks about Luther's toilet, seriously, on German television at one point. So he's there. He's in the mix. He does the Secret Cabinet in German and his own shows. And then Stefan Giesbad, who's a German podcaster, is helping me launch a new project and also writing on history of Germany, hopefully in the future here and there. And so I lost track. There's like, what, 8 of us? I mean, there's Kimberly, who will I'm helping to launch a show. So she's helping me write. She was a researcher and writer previously, and now she's going to launch her own show. So I don't know, 8, 9 people. I don't even know. So like, there's no way that I can just sit here and be like, oh yeah, I have all these shows and it's all me.
Well,
and,
you're the big boss.
Thank you very
man.
Much. And yeah, I'm just awesome like that. not at all.
Well,
I'm half as awesome as you think I am.
Yeah, but the thing is,
which is still pretty awesome. Like I know, I recognize.
For thing is, the resounding message throughout the podcasts, which I have been receiving, is just, you know what? It's a lot of work, but you have to do it. If you want to do it right, you have to put a lot of work in it, I think.
So now I have enough projects and there's enough people involved that I kind of get to do what I want to do, like exactly what I want to do. And so I can read what I want to read. There's so many things going at the same time that we're like, I'll read Germany. I'll outsource this, but I'll read Alchemy. I'll finish this book. But I don't have to edit anymore, which is nice. Thank you, Andrew. Like I just edit my German shows now, which is 2 feeds. And then working with other podcasters and just saying, okay, how about I write this for your show? And then you're the star, you're the voice, you're the star of the show. Go do it. So I'm writing on a ton of shows, several of which you might not even know. Like you might hear me at the very end or something, mention Dark Myths or mention Agora or something.
Talking about Agora, you are currently the only member of both Dark Myths and Agora.
Wait a minute, that's not true. Isn't Wittenberg to Westphalia?
He applied. Is he accepted in Agora as well now?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Now we have 2, but you were the first one, and I think you might have fooled
both of us. Both of us German podcasters. Like he does Wittenberg to Westphalia podcast.
He hasn't got into Wittenberg yet, though.
No, it takes him a while. I did a guest show there just because I wanted him to like get to the freaking battles already. Come on, I did his like episode 7.
He's a great guy. I love.
He does a fantastic job of giving you the lay of the land. Like he's doing a great job right now of like setting it all up. I think he did like a 10-part miniseries of just geography lesson, really, which I here or there snippets I help him write. So that's why I'm mentioning it. Like there's a couple of like
Dark Myths, by the way,
lesson that my Bavarian teacher told me, like that made it into his show.
Dude,
so.
I am the person responsible for him being on Dark Myths because I wrote to him on several occasions and just kind of I poked him until he joined and we're glad to have him.
Oh, that's your fault? Because Ben's really a horrible person and I take it all back. I was just being polite because I wrote. No, that's awesome. When he first started, I sent him a 5-minute MP3. It was like a German lesson of pronunciation. I was like, okay, so U with two dots is U. There's U, there's A, there's H, you know, and you know, the CH. There's,
you,
and
you teach the R. You teach the American the umlauts, I see.
I just told him a few things about the German accent. And I said, if you speak like this, when you read the German word like Frankfurt or Berlin or München, then or Prague, like Tschechien, then you will understand Latvian and the Soviet Union. With Christaps, then you will understand, then you will do a great job and good luck with your podcast,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, we can.
I wish you all the best. auf Wiedersehen.
And this is why you should listen to all the podcasts by Travis, ladies and gentlemen.
Or
you have messed up my Soviet accent, by the way. I must put it back on just to remember how it is like to talk in Soviet.
I stay away from German accents, from accents on History of Germany. Like, I don't want to go there.
No, I know, but the thing is, this is my natural voice. You hear my natural voice. It's gotten better with time because I've been speaking to Americans, but a lot of people, for example, tell me that I have a very Eastern European accent, even when I'm not trying very hard or something. Yeah, but in general, people say that I have an accent. I can't hear
it. It doesn't really matter.
And you know what?
I mean, I'm the wrong person to talk to because I've lived there for so long that.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that. Do you have an accent of your own? Do Americans?
I used to. I used to have an accent when I was 14 and moved to high school. I think I spoke funny, not like with an accent, but German was easier for me, and I just didn't know some words, and I spoke a very flat, no slang, and very slow English, I think, and which is probably good for a podcaster. That's probably right on. But I sounded funny. Like my parents, you know, we moved away in the 80s. So I probably was like a time capsule. We sounded like we were from the 80s, probably in 1996. And in Prague, I had to really focus to understand some Czech. Czech is really hard. And it was just funny to finally like move back. And it's like, oh, whoa, I can talk to everybody and like easily. And no one has an accent. And like, oh, that's strange. Actually, a lot of people here have an accent, but that's, yeah, I mean, so it, like, but it's like everybody just speaks English here. That's so weird. What's going on? That was actually definitely the first week or so, just the strangest thing. I just walked into the bar across the street and talked to anybody I wanted to. People were probably thinking like, holy shit, like go away, dude. Cause I was like, oh, the bar, you speak English. Oh my God. Oh, the Ethiopian dude speaks English and this guy speaks English and hey, you know, and oh man, like it's just, yeah. I'm definitely used to accents. Like History on Fire, what's his name? Daniele
Bellelli. And we should totally have a beer together, like all three of us, man. Because
yeah,
we just spent my last episode talking with him about Europe and our culture and everything. And
yeah.
That's so cool.
It's not, yeah. So he has a strong accent. He has a stronger accent than you do. And I think that maybe, like I was fine with it, I guess. But in like maybe it takes a little bit of getting used to, but you don't really have to focus after a while. You just get used to it. And then it's just, you can just focus on the content. And his show is just so great. Like the content is just so fantastic that it just shines through. Like he did an episode on Ötzi, the Iceman. And so did I, but I never mentioned that because I'm so embarrassed. Like his is so awesome. Like, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, it's just a great show. Like his what he has to say is his insight, his ability to like, you know, give insight into historical events is just fantastic. Who cares if he has an accent or not?
Wow. That's a powerful message out there, by the way. And another question. When we're talking about messages, and this is the part which I ask no one to spoil. No, well, Darkman's boards.
I have a problem sometimes with Jordan Harbour. I can't really understand his Canadian accent and Craig Buddy. I got to be honest. I barely understand them.
Oh no, man! I do get those guys. But, well,
Jordan, no, I'm kidding because they're like a Canadian accent is practically American, but you can still tell they're Canadian. Like if Jordan, like even I don't know. It's all dramatic. His show is all, you know, dramatic and it's very well acted out. But then he has that slight Canadian accent. I'm like, oh yeah, he's Canadian. I don't know. It's just there.
By the way, Jordan Bonaparte, you thought Jordan Harbour was American.
Yeah. Most people probably would.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. This part, which I ask you not to spoil to anyone. So what's your message to the Dark Myths group? What do you want to say to everyone? Which this is the only place where they're going to find out because no one has spoiled anything yet.
Find out what?
what the other people's messages were. Okay, I'm sure you'll know them before anyone else, but what's your message to the Dark Myths group, which you'd only say on our show?
What do you mean? If it's not private, this can be published, right? I mean, this can be public.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? I mean,
at least to us, comrade, we see everything.
Geez, the message to my fellow comrades is, it's great to be part of team. I speak from heart when I say, it is good to be a member. It is good to be a member of Dark Mist. It is very good to be a member of Agora. Oh, I mean, I defect.
Nice. That's good enough. That's good enough. And by the way, if you had something to say to your listeners, what would that be? We're all about embarrassment.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Here we can reveal our... And a lot of people have.
Oh, man. My listeners... I go out on a limb with my... Actually... One secret I can divulge is if you kind of speak German, but not really, but you kind of do. I talk some serious smack on my German podcast because I just know, I kind of feel like it's a secret language and my listeners are thousands of kilometers away. Like, I don't know, more than 10,000 kilometers away. I just feel kind of safe. Like, and so I say all kinds of personal stuff. I say all kinds of it could be seen as anti-American, but it's history. It's history, is the thing. But I just go for it. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't say this in English, but yeah, whatever. Here you go. You guys can handle the truth. Here's how it goes down. And that's a secret, kind of, because if people figured that out, if they could kind of speak German, or if someone translates that, I could probably get in trouble for this or that.
Oh man, I just looked at this and it was like, hey, it looks very European. I'm fine with this. Because magical
kind of
secret
and translating in English. If you podcasted in Latvian, then your neighbors could understand what you're saying, and they'd be like, "Hey, wait a minute, that guy."
No, I openly go.
He's a flag burner.
I openly go to my neighbors, by the way, and talk about my show. That's how I get the stories. And I've gotten Russian death threats. Come on, you know it's what you're saying here.
Yeah, I've never gotten death threats. Yeah, that's good.
You have a death threat gap, dear sir. Death threat gap.
I'm always.
You would, by the way, recommend a show that is not yours and not mine, because I've been recommended once already, and I really don't want to use this for personal promotion, man.
Someone from totally outside of the community?
No. From Dark Myths, but listen, who's not you or me? Okay.
Okay. Let me break
this
down.
You can recommend
to
other people too.
Let me peel this onion. So our community has many layers. There's Agora, my favorite Agora show. I'm going to get in trouble if I say favorite. But an Agora show I really enjoy at the moment is History of England or History of China. There, I mentioned two. They can fight over it. My favorite Dark Myths, or a great Dark Myths one is have you ever? Well, my least favorite is probably this Eastern Border crap with this Kristaps dude that's like, oh, he just like rambles on about his childhood and how gray and depressing the communists were and boo-hoo. But a great show is, History of Pirates, obviously. History of Pirates is fantastic. He needs to do more
episodes.
The part
about Eastern Border shall be cut out, obviously.
So in Dark Myths, Craig Buddy, the reason I would give Craig Buddy 4 stars is because he needs to have more episodes. It's just so good, and it's like, I need more. I feel like I'm like a junkie, like begging for History of Pirates podcasts on the street corner. You know, it's pathetic. But then there's also the wider community, because then there's like the Facebook group where we all hang out with, like history podcasts. I always listen to...
Don't tell them about the Facebook group, man. They will want in.
It's a closed group. You cannot come in. No,
it's okay. Just
actually,
It's a thing how this whole thing started, anyways.
So this is kind of, I guess,
our listeners should know that. Yes, we do communicate on Facebook because that's what we do.
I was gonna say this is probably pointless for our listeners because they probably came from that group mostly. But the History Podcasts group in Facebook, all caps History Podcasts. There's like 400, 500 history podcasters that hang out there with thousands of listeners. It's like ridiculous. So it's a great community. Like, holy crap! Like when I discovered it as a
Do you know who runs that community? Do you know who's the admin?
The admin is what, you, Jordan?
Jordan?
Yeah, it's Jordan basically.
It's like a Dark Myths conspiracy. I don't know. Jordan started this independently, and that's actually
that doesn't matter. Though. Yeah, that was way back in the day. That was before either of there's also the History Podcasters Network, historypodcastersnetwork.com. There's a new collage coming out there soon on food, actually. So, you know, there, you should go see that. There's a sly plug there, historypodcastersnetwork.com or historypodcasters.com. But I'm trying to catch up with Peter Adamson's the History of Philosophy in India. Have you ever heard his History of Philosophy or History of Philosophy in India
podcast? I haven't really, no.
Oh my God. So they're like, he
should kind of apply to our group, I think.
No, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. He is his own. He just doesn't need any of us. He's just awesome. So he's a history professor at the LMU in Munich at the Ludwigs Maximilians Universität in München. He's a professor there, but he's an American, and I probably shouldn't have said it like that. But Munich was Hitler's favorite city. But totally okay. Whoa. Sorry. No longer gonna appreciate this plug. But he's on hundreds of episodes at this point. I believe it's like 100+ episodes on history of philosophy, starting from like pre-Socratic, you know, Western philosophy, Aristotle, the whole nine yards, up until the medieval days. Now is where he's at, I believe, and then history of India, where he's giving, you know, the whole, I mean, that's just, wow, the whole, like, Indian, like, Hindu and Vedic and Brahmin and that whole philosophic tradition, he's trying to give that some justice. And so that's, like, he's already on episode 50, I don't even know, and I'm trying to get caught up there. That is fantastic. If you like philosophy, and the thing is, like, if you just like history, because so much philosophy ties into that, the history of ideas, the history of science.
By the way, one of my teachers told me, and I'm sure it's been mentioned on some show, history is just applied philosophy anyways.
Yeah, history of religion, history of politics. Politics is just applied philosophy. Absolutely. That's well put, dude. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I love that show. It's kind of like I cheat, I plagiarize. Sometimes I plagiarize so bad for History of Alchemy that I leave his examples in. He always talks about Buster Keaton and giraffes, and sometimes I forget to like edit that out in my plagiarism. And it's there. So that's in History of Alchemy sometimes, but it's just fantastic. And then I really enjoy the History of the Crusades, and I'm re-listening to part of that. I was caught up, and then Sharon Eastaw did the History of the Crusades. Like, now she's doing the Cathars. She's doing that series. And I was caught up with the Crusades, but I'm re-listening to parts from my own history of Germany. And I'm going to use her podcast as a source, kind of. I don't want to give you any spoilers here, but I'll definitely have her on the show at least once. When I talk about the Crusades and their effects in Germany and that kind of thing, you know, the Franks going off.
And of course, we all, as you mentioned, should kind of poke at Daniele Bellelli's History on Fire show.
Well, okay, so then there's that. Then there's the World War II podcast. Ray Harris is brilliant. I love Ray. Okay, and then there's the wider the people that don't even hang out there. Like I love the China History podcast by Laszlo Montgomery, but he doesn't hang out with us. Like he's been in my kitchen. I served him tea here in Santa Clara, California. I shit you not. In fact, he's in the Bay Area or was. I might have missed it. I don't know. I think I missed it, but he was here again, and I was just too busy. But yeah, he's around, but he doesn't really hang out in that community. He's like Facebook, what? And there's also kind of a Reddit crowd, but I think a lot of them are also on Facebook. So there's not just us, you know, there's other folks out there. But yeah. And then I listened to some German history podcasts that wouldn't even interest half of you guys. But Angegraben or Das Geheime Kabinett, obviously. Americana für euch is obviously
is an excellent show. It's like much better than the damn American ripoff, you know, who just basically translates the episodes and it's terrible.
Yeah, Americana for Oik. That one's been number one in history in iTunes for the last, since February, since for the last like 4 months running, just uncontested, just absolute rocks Germany right now. And that's an awesome show. I highly recommend that one if you speak German. That's a great one out there.
Yeah, hashtag so if you
props,
speak German.
Props to that guy, whoever that is, but that's genius. That is just genius. Who else? Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, I listen to some other non-history podcasts, but one about movies in German, Sneak Pod, you know, a couple others. But yeah, geez, I don't know. There's so many. I have so many on my device right now, and I can't even actually hear. Yeah, that's what I'd say. You want me to tell you what's actually on my device right now that I would listen to next? Here, this is something that I've never done, and this could be embarrassing. Okay, if I hit play right now, it's A History of the United States by Jamie Redfern. That's a good one. Okay, so that's what I was listening to. And then History of the Papacy, and Sawbones, who, like, I have no contact with those people whatsoever. It's a married couple, and she's a doctor, and he's just kind of a comedian, does other shows. They're part of a larger network called Mandatory Fun, maybe, or something. I don't know, something like that. I forget what it is.
They are ripping me off.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, wait a minute. But they do, they're known. Yeah. Sawbones, it's a medical history podcast, and I love those stories. They're just great. And she's all business. She knows the history, and, you know, she's got a good sense of humor. And her husband, Justin, is just hilarious. And yeah, that would have came up if I hit play here. A History of Alexander Remastered. I have to catch up. That's like Jamie Redfern's old one. Is that right? And yeah. History of Philosophy Without Any Gaps. Yeah, Peter Adamson, definitely. And then 10 American Presidents. I got a new one. Yeah, that's Roy Field Brown. Yeah, 1001 Heroes, Legends, and Histories. So Lester Bonaparte, obviously, is there. History of Pirates is there. I already said that. The History Podcast.
Oh, my God, Lester Bonaparte. Who does that show? It's terrible.
A couple of losers, frankly. That is not one I recommend. But History Podcasters podcast feed. So that's a podcast, actually. The History Podcasters. Yeah. World War II. Yeah. Oh, Maritime History Podcasters. That's high up on my list. So.
What device do you use, by the way?
I don't want to. I don't. Can I? I live in Silicon Valley, okay? Can we not talk about me?
Oh, boy. I'm using my cheap Android because I can't afford an iPhone. There, I said it. I don't care. I don't even care. But yeah,
my phone costs a ridiculous amount of money. I made me so angry, and I was like, if I converted this to crowns, I could buy. Okay, convert it to crowns. Here's how I'll tell you. My phone cost me 800 to 1,000, maybe 1,000 beers. My phone cost 1,000 beers were I in Prague. And Czech beers cost me 1,000 Czech beers. So probably 1,000 Latvian beers. Right? How much does a Latvian beer cost in dollars? Do you know the exchange rate?
About a dollar.
Would it be less than a dollar, or is it a dollar? A dollar a beer, maybe?
About a dollar. Well, a bit less than a dollar.
Yeah.
69 euro cents. 69 euro cents for this, which is a pint of beer. So that's about a dollar. 69 euro cents, about a dollar.
That's kind of how I thought about it. So it really hurt. So yeah, ouch.
And
ouch. But part of the reason is I needed, like, my old phone was always full. My old phone finally got destroyed. But I finally was just like, I need a phone that I can just subscribe to every podcast I want and just, you know, have more podcasts than I can actually listen to. And I just want that to not be a problem. And so that's what I do. Like, I just have so much stuff on there, and I just, it's lovely.
And an important question. Yeah. What's your favorite beer?
What are we talking? Okay, so all-time favorite beer is one that I've only seen a couple of times, or it was like seasonal, or it never existed. It definitely existed once. But it was a cream ale made by McMinniman's, actually. And yeah, they make good beers, but their regular stuff is not great. They're in Pacific Northwest, like United States brewery. And they have several. I mean, they're pretty big for what they do. They even have like hotels and like haunted. They buy old schools and turn them into hotels with movie theaters and all that stuff. It's really, really great. But you can also buy beer there by the pitcher, which is like 2 liters of beer. And they had something, it was a nitrous You know, nitrous is like a stout, like Guinness is a nitrous beer. It's nitrous oxide instead of, you know, whatever, carbon dioxide naturally fermented. And so it makes it all buttery. Like Harry Potter butter beer, I imagine that to be a butter beer. And I had this creamy ale butter beer that was just fantastic. Like it tasted like candy. It was ridiculous. But otherwise, you can't really find that. So Pilsner has got to be up there for just like standard, like I'm going to go for a beer and it's not hard to find.
Yeah, because Pilsner is even popular here in Latvia. Because you know what?
Yeah,
If you want the default, grab Pilsner.
But that's not my favorite. I mean, it's far from the best. It's just kind of like if I was sending somebody to the store and, you know, and I didn't trust them to pick something good, I'd be like, hey, see if they got Pilsner, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, ooh, otherwise there's so many. I like, you know, back home to Oregon, we have Deschutes Brewery, which is fantastic from Bend. And they make a decent ale. Like a really good one is Twilight Ale. And I say that because most people might have heard of it because I can get that down here in Safeway, for instance. I don't think it's imported to Europe. That might be too far, like for beer. I don't know. But they make one, a summer ale, only in the summer, called Twilight Ale, and that's so good. And they made that before the movies came out, by the way. I drank Twilight Ale in college. So, I mean, yeah, that was before the Twilight movies came out. But yeah, there's just some really good microbrews here. I'm always exploring. Czech Republic, also, that really changed. 10 years ago, when I moved there, you could only get the big ones. Český Budějovice, like the Budweiser, Budvar, and Pilsner, and Gambrinos, and those, you know, those kind of beers. And now you can really get Czechs have the villages import their little beers to the city, and you can get 50 different Czech beers that are just fantastic.
Our Eastern European microbreweries are so good.
So good. So good. I think, okay, if you want to break it down, because are you a lager guy, or what's your favorite style beer? Are we going to talk beer? Is that what this is devolving into?
This is usually normal. This is perfectly normal. Let's talk beer. Okay, I talk beer with everyone.
I can't actually. It's only 9 a.m. and it's a work day. I have to go turn on my work computer here in like less than an hour. So,
oh great.
I can't actually drink a beer. In my fridge right now, I have some hard root beer, which was a mistake. It wasn't very good, but I'm trying out new things.
I love IPAs because
I can't. It's hard to find a good one for me. I don't like the overly hoppiness. But you're an IPA.
I love, my favorite IPA is one called the Green Shotgun, a Latvian IPA, which essentially tastes like a pine forest.
You told me about that on a different show. We've already had this conversation before. Yeah, but
I guess so. But yeah, but technically, I am drinking a lager right now.
Can you drink four of those in a row?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not.
That's not because you'll get drunk because they're very strong.
I kind of like a beer that I could have three of them. Like I would just want to order another one, kind of thing.
You can't even get Gulden Drak, which is my favorite dark beer. Like
what's the one you just held up? Say that again. Or what's the?
That's Alders 1865. That's a brand new brand from Alders. Okay. Alders is a very very default kind of. Very commercial, very crappy brewery, but
it's a lager for sure.
It's a lager. Yeah. It's kind of an old recipe. It's very light. It's 4.8% alcohol.
See, I like that actually.
It's pretty good. It's good for podcasting, man. Because IT runs on coffee, podcasts run on beer and some other substances which shall not be named.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So I'm about to have a huge pot of coffee here. Before I start working.
The special coffee, yes.
No, real coffee in like 15, 20 minutes because, yeah. But yeah, anyways.
Because of the special stuff, yeah.
Because of the special podcasting medicine. So what else? So ales and lagers are basically the two beers that I can just sit and drink 3, 4, whatever, 15. edit, 20. I enjoy a porter, a dark beer. Czechs, do you guys have dark lagers?
We do. Unfiltered ones. Yeah.
Even unfiltered. Well, yeah, there's unfiltered, but even like a really dark, and just depends on what kind of barley or wheat beers. How are Latvian wheat beers?
Great, actually, because wheat beers are like special. It's kind of interesting because my favorite wheat beer is Hoegaarden, which is just kind of a texture.
Kind of too light. It's too light.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
we have this plant called Sidonis, which is like lemon-ish, kind of sour-ish, and that's how the beer tastes like. It's a summer beer, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of very light.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So there's some pretty heavy wheat beers, but I mean, still.
Welcome to the Dark Myths podcast, where we discuss beer on each episode.
I was going to say, what do we actually do?
It always
kind of devolves into that. Yeah.
And I'll quote Mr. Daniele Bellelli here. All discussions worth to have contain some philosophy, and then they go down to boobs.
It goes down to boobs. Well, let me make a couple of plugs here.
Boobs.
So, history of
the same thing.
What? Bruise?
Boobs, not booze. Boobs.
Oh, boobs.
But it's boobs, booze.
They go great together. It works. Okay, so a couple of plugs is I've done a show on the Reinheitsgebot about German, you know, why the German Beer Purity Act technically, but just the history of German beer. And that's like one of my all-time most downloaded shows. So that's one that I think if you haven't heard, you might enjoy on the history of Germany. It's one of the earlier ones. So, you know, scroll down and it's Reinheitsgebot or whatever, German Beer Purity Act. And on Bohemican, we did Pilsen. The city of Pilsen, because the Pilsen brewery is huge. It is a whole, the tunnels go for kilometers underneath the city where they would store it's a lager, where they would lager the beer. And that's kind of where that technique was really invented, like the Pilsner style beer, which is just a specific lagering technique. You know, that lager beer became really popular there. And that's just awesome. Like we've been to that brewery. And I've also been to the brewery in Český Budějovice, Budweiss, and I broke down the history of why it's called Budweiss and why we have an American Budweiss and all that. That's
American
also on Bohemian.
Budweiss is owned by Danes, I think.
There's Anheuser-Busch, but who owns them now? Is it? I thought it was South Africans now. Who owns Anheuser-Busch? I don't know.
I think it was Germans or
something. Or Belgians,
probably.
I don't even know. That's an American, that was an American beer, American company. And, it's a Czech town. Budweiss is in Czech Republic. So
talking about Czech Republic, there has been a petition recently that, the Czechs have set up this petition that in English, their country should be called just Czechia. That's how, by the way, we pronounce it in Latvian,
yeah.
Czechia. In American it would be like Czechia. Czechia.
So,
we call it Czechia.
Because it already is Czechia. It always has been Czechia. They just want it to officially be that in English, like that the UN recognizes that or whatever, because we don't really say Czechia. We say Czech Republic.
I don't know.
But other country, German is Czechian. And so Czechs themselves, Český, Český is Czech or Czech Republic, Česká republika, basically. Český, if you translate that to English, then
we still call them that way. We call them Czech because
we have
the name.
Yeah, they are Czech. Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, that's what they call themselves is Czech. But in English, the proper term would be Bohemia, and they are Bohemians. That's technically what we mean by
but why?
Czech.
I mean, is this another case of these Eastern European things
that's
happening?
That's an old case of Czechs
because,
called themselves Czechs.
Because Mazovians would basically yell if they would call Bohemians.
No.
We're getting into deep Czech stuff now because Mazovians are different from Bohemians, and you know that.
There's Vens and Serbs and Sorbs and but that's a really simple one actually. So Bohemia is pretty simple because before the Slavs moved in, there was the Boii, whatever they're called, which were like a Celtic tribe, you know, or whatever. And then there were some Germanic peoples living there. And then the Slavs marched in probably the same time as the Germanic peoples, more or less. But the Slavs really marched in. And the Latin sources didn't really change the name of the area. It was still Bohemia. That's what it was. So the king of Bohemia was a Czech person. It was a Czech, but it was, you know... The Böhmisches Königreich, the Bohemian Kingdom. That's what it was in the Holy Roman Empire, in Latin and German and all the official languages. It was it was Bohemia. It was the Kingdom of Bohemia. But Czechs always called themselves Czech, technically Czech, you know? So yeah. So now they just want the rest of the world to call them what they've always called themselves.
Yeah.
But it makes sense, Bohemia goes back to, we're talking back to the 10th century. It's a really old tradition of it. These Slavic people are called Bohemians. That's how long we've been calling them that. It's more than 1,000 years.
And I have a final question for you here, because I'll be asking you a question about, because I've done some research on Czechs before, because that's what I do. And one of my favorite books of all time is by Jaroslav Hašek.
Oh.
And you know what I'm talking about. The Good Soldier Švejk.
Oh,
Švejk.
God, I love that book.
It's good yeah. for the parts one and two. In the third one, when he died and Franz Halada took over, then it became pro-Russian. But the first two parts are one of the greatest books ever read. I know it's not popular in America, but that's if you awesome. Haven't read Good Soldier Švejk, it's so how bureaucracy works. It's everything about, you need to know about Austro-Hungarian Empire, Czechs, everything. And I've been to Prague and I've went to...
I was going to say, if you're in Prague, you can actually follow in his footsteps, in his drunken, drunken footsteps.
And the
when
thing
he goes
is,
to jail in punk rots, that jail is still there.
And the pub, by the way, there are two pubs in Prague.
Oh, yeah.
One is called
Ušveku,
which is the wrong one, because you should Ukolobka, I think. To the cup.
The one that's mentioned in the book, maybe, or something.
Yeah, the one that's mentioned in the book, To the Cup, and that's also still there, and... It's a book about political satire is your thing, read it. It's just
the reason,
everything.
Yeah, some people might like it because some people might like it because it's hilarious, okay? But others might like it because it is a Czech. They're very good at satire because they would try to insult their Austrian emperor without getting arrested, basically, because these are Czechs speaking a Czech language, or even making fun of Hungarians without getting in trouble in the Slovaks case. So, you know, they had this down to an art. There were theater, like drama pieces, just making fun of the Austrians, but disguised as, you know, all something else, making fun of Russians or making fun of something else. And Švejk is an example of, like, he gets in trouble all the time because of just stupid things he says. And it's very educational for the time of like what you couldn't say. And then also later, again, under the communists, the Czechs were very good at playing that game because they had done it under the Austrians for hundreds of years, like being careful of saying what you want to say without getting arrested. You know, be careful with how you joke and what jokes you make and, you know, what that kind of thing. So reading this before communism existed, this piece of work, like, is really interesting because it's kind of foreshadowing what would also happen. But it's also foreshadowing that Czechs just drink a lot and he's just constantly getting into stupid trouble and yet doesn't. And he still gets promoted now and then and he makes it. And he's a soldier and he's just trying to make it to the front. That's all he's trying to do. He's just trying to get to the war and fight some Russians. That's it. But he just can't make it there. He's just too drunk.
I think it's right because he also has a very strong anti-war message in the one, because there's this scene about he gets sent to army prison and then there's this
anti-war
teacher there who says, well, I'm a substitute teacher. Why the fuck should I shoot at other substitute teachers on the other side of the front? Because it's First World War.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the other good thing...
The book is anti-war and the book is kind of anti-Austrian or, you know, anti-imperial occupation, I should say. It's not really anti-Austrian.
It's anti-imperial and anti-bureaucratic because...
Bureaucratic, yeah. Because he's just... he just gets drunk and, oh, free beer and, oh, that's it. But Švejk is not anti-war. He's just trying to do his job, you know?
Yeah,
like, that's the great part.
He must do things for König und Kaiser.
Yeah, König und Kaiser. Yep. Oh, it's great. Yep. So I mean, you can if you're reading that book in Prague, you can really like, oh, you can just go to these different places and it's fantastic.
And another book that I mentioned in my show, by the way, on Eastern Border is Karel Čapek's How Things Work, which is an excellent book because everything happens in the communist countries except how newspapers are made, which happens in New York City because of censorship reasons, which is fun. And it's kind of crazy. And Karel Čapek is also responsible for inventing the word robot.
Yeah, exactly.
Robotnik, which is the worker.
We've mentioned that before. Yeah, Robotnik. So I have a Slovak friend. Now, it Czechs themselves, you don't really hear, like, budu robot. Like, budu, you know, like, I'm going to go robot now. But I have a Slovak
in Russia,
friend.
They still use the thing, robotech, so say.
Yeah, well, I have a Slovak friend that he tells his daughter, like, so his daughter will call him or something, and he's like, robotim, you know, and he's like, I'm at work, and he's like, robotim, you know, like, call me late. And I'm like, oh my God, you're roboting? Are you roboting right now? And he's like, you know, he's like, hello, robotim, like, call me later, you know. And I was like, are you roboting? He's like, well, yeah. But he worked for IBM at that point. He's like working for IBM. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're kind of like, oh, I shouldn't say anything about IBM. But yeah, That's kind of funny. So yeah, you still hear it. Like it's still just used every day. Like in like I gotta go robot. In fact, after this call, I'm gonna go robot. So, yeah.
Well, man. Anyway, thank you for being on Dark Myths podcasts. It's not like you wouldn't been on them since you take care of all of our technical social media things and everything.
I could just hijack whatever I want, and I can tweet whatever I want, and I can just put my own show on your feed. I have way too much power for one person, but don't tell Jordan that.
And this was for this episode of Dark Myths podcast. Thank you, listeners. We're having fun with this one. I hope you don't mind. And see you next time with more shows from Dark Myths. And thanks to Travis. Any last words, good sir?
Just go have a look at podcastnik.com, because otherwise I'll just keep talking about all the stuff that's coming up and we've been doing. But yeah, so go check out podcastnik.com. Find me on Facebook or Twitter and, you know, come hang out. And I hang out at all those places. And yeah, looking forward to more of these little episodes, Soviet endeavors that you do, these little communist, these.
No, these are not communist. This is just me actually interviewing all
the people's. This is the people's podcast.
What people's? We are the bourgeoisie of the internet.
We are the people's. This is the listeners podcast of, no, I don't know. There might be a revolution. Listeners will take over our microphones and our RSS feeds.
Oh my, no, anything but that. Okay, thanks, Travis, bye.